A little while ago, Susan just read from the 10th chapter of Acts and told you a story, something that happened. Now, in the 11th chapter, this is the follow-up to that. Very, very important because it does repeat the story. Yes, you'll notice that. But it also tells us what it means. Peter had to discover what it meant. Let's read Acts 11, 1 through 18. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Remember, they criticized him, so that's how they sounded. Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Holy Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." How about that? Let me ask you a question. Are there some things that you refuse to eat? I wouldn't be surprised if there's not. Well, you know, if you go to the southern part of China, you can go to an open-air market there and see some very interesting things to eat. Out there on the open market of southern China, you will see such wonderful things as black scorpions. Yum! They're out there to buy. And if you look a little further on the entrees there, you can find some, I think they're blue scorpions. I'm really not sure. But don't those look good just stuck on a stick there, right? Well, if you don't like those, then you can sample, I don't know, what are these, large crickets or what? Bugs of some kind, but they look ginormous. Tasty. A little further on there are some, are these sea urchins or what? I have no idea what they are. They look like old brown mop heads or something like that, but they are for sale to eat. Now, some of these others that are found are a little bit more the known here. How about, this is labeled, a snake about to be grilled. Yum, can hardly wait. All right, if you don't want that, we can go with, hit the next one there, Brian. Okay, dog liver with vegetables. Now, I know some of you are saying, yuck, you just don't like vegetables. I know. Okay. And you can have goat lungs with red peppers. Oh, man, the red peppers just set it off in a nice sort of way. And you can wash it all down with, no, not yet. Oh, excuse me, I forgot about the lizard legs. Now, look, these things are breaded and deep fried. You just got to enjoy lizard legs. And you can wash it all down with dog brain soup. Mmm, yum. You'll never look at Pei Ling the same way again now, will you, huh? I do know she eats chicken feet at the restaurant. Right, Charles? She likes those chicken feet. You know, there's a big ew factor in something like that, right? Would you eat that stuff? Anybody? Maybe on a dare or for $1 million, but you say, no, I would definitely not eat that. Now, look, if you had a kind of a gut reaction to seeing that food, then you know how Peter felt when he saw the stuff that he saw inside that big sheet-looking thing. There was stuff like this. Well, there's all kind of animals. Reptiles. You ever eat a reptile? All that kind of stuff is in this sheet. And he says, oh, that's gross. I would not eat it. As a matter of fact, Lord, don't we have a bunch of kosher laws that you gave to us in the Bible, in the Old Testament? I mean, I can go look them up. I know them by heart. I know what you can eat and not eat. They had a clear list of what was clean and what was unclean. Did you know that pigs was on the list? They couldn't eat pigs. So you folks who like Carolina pork barbecue, no, I'm sorry, can't eat that. You know, we have, actually, our culture teaches us a lot of things about this. So then some cultures, they eat dogs and cats. And I say, that's gross. But maybe there's something that we eat that they think is just absolutely terrible. Now, background to the book of Acts is this pressing question having to do with what? Food? No! You read the whole book of Acts and it's trying to answer the question, how did the gospel come to the Gentiles? How did it reach the Gentiles too? How come the Gentiles are being saved now? The book of Acts is one big story about that, among other things. But you see, there were, excuse me, back then, few boundaries were as rigid or as honored as this one. The separation between the Jewish chosen people of God and everybody else, the Gentiles. This was the catch-all phrase for every other race, nation, clan, or whatever. And in their history, they were told very clearly to stay separate from them because they would be corrupted by them. They would be changed. And that happened many times in Israel. They would mix with the folks around them and they'd be led astray and they quit following God. So it said, don't have anything to do with the Gentiles if you can possibly help it. They've been persecuted. They've been wandering around. But when they were at their best, they were staying away from those unclean folks. Now, in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit being at work through the people of God, what's happening? That boundary's going away. Now the Gentiles are being included and, as a matter of fact, invited and welcomed to become the people of God. And the question is, how did this happen? Whose idea was this? Is it Peter's idea? What's wrong with Peter? Is he some kind of a liberal or something? Accepting those people? Oh, come on. The church council said quite clearly to him, Peter, you ate with them. You know that's against the rules. You had the nerve to baptize those people. What were you thinking? How dare you violate the boundaries that God has established? And they probably quoted him the chapters and the verses in the Old Testament that said, you don't do that kind of stuff. Now, what's Peter's defense? What did he say? He said, look, I had this vision, okay? It was kind of like a dream kind of thing, but it was so very real. It was so very vivid. I know it was happening. And this sheet comes down from heaven, and it's full of animals. And he describes it to them, as you've heard it described already. And the voice that says, get up and eat. Kill it, eat it. Prepare yourself a meal. And I said, no, I don't. I have not violated the Jewish dietary laws, Lord. And what does God say? Nothing God has made is unclean. And what happened? The whole thing happened again. And what happened after that? The whole thing happened again. Three times this occurs. You think maybe God's trying to get a point over to Peter, repeating it three times? And then it's interesting too, right after that, who shows up? How many Gentiles?
Three.
Three Gentiles. And then, you know, Peter's wondering, what's all this fuss about diet? What's all this fuss about food? But when the three Gentiles show up, the light bulb turns on for Peter, and he says, oh, this is not about food. This is about people. Now I get it. There are no unclean people, and God loves and wants to reach the Gentiles and include them in just as much as he does we Jews. This Jesus movement is something new and something different. And when Peter explained it to them, the Jerusalem council folks, the church council folks, then they said, oh, it wasn't your idea. This is God's idea. Well, then it's okay. God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. This story is really a parable about the church, all the church. Whenever boundaries are broken, whenever other kinds of people are embraced and included, then that can only happen if it comes from heaven. Somebody has obeyed the vision, if that's the reality. It is an act of God. It is miraculous. And the church itself is right miraculous, isn't it? The church is made up of whomever Jesus Christ calls to trust him. And who is that? Anybody he's left out? Any group? Any nation? Any race? Any gender? Whoever. Now, we in the world, we have a tendency to clump ourselves together. You know, races of the same kind of race tend to hang out together. People of the same economic background tend to hang with one another. Or maybe it's that they've got the same education, you know. Or maybe there's some other identity that we tend to, birds of a feather flock together. It's real natural. The church, on the other hand, at its best says, you know, we really don't care about that stuff. You know, that stuff really doesn't matter. So there should be all this blending and mixing of all different kind of races and economies and education levels and stuff like that. Everybody could just be a hodgepodge, a virtual stew of humanity, if you please. And yet, does that tend to be the way our individual churches are? Sometimes the world does a whole lot better at mixing and having a whole variety than we do. And we tend to be the segregationists. We tend to hunker down with the faithful few who are like us and agree with us and look like us and sound like us. But that's not really the church. That's not really the church. We get all obsessed about internal church matters when God is constantly just trying to reach everybody he possibly can in Jesus' name. What they are, who they are, where they're coming from, what they look like, he doesn't care. You know, thousands of churches are going to close in America every year. And for many of them, their dying words are honestly this: there's no one anywhere in our area around our church who might join our church. But what they're basically saying is, the real meaning is, we're in the middle of a great big population of people that's of a color or a language other than ours. Nothing around here now but Spanish people, right? Or Mexicans. But you know that church growth is the goal of the church when Jesus Christ is at work and he is the one who's on the prowl for new disciples and all disciples. And church decline and death is to be expected when the church refuses to follow the Savior and include everybody in the kingdom. You know, when our youngest son Mark was about 7 years old, his birthday was coming up. We told him to invite friends that he wanted to invite. And so he was inviting a whole bunch of people. And he had some kids from school that we hadn't met that he wanted to invite. And he said Raymond. He really wanted Raymond to come. So we sent Raymond an invitation. And he talked a bunch of times about Raymond. And I was really hoping Raymond could come to his birthday party. Well, Raymond showed up. And lo and behold, Raymond was black. And that didn't matter a whit to me and Debbie, but we just thought it was quite amusing that it never occurred to Mark to tell us that fact at all. We had no idea little boy was black. Didn't seem to matter to Mark. And that was great. That was just great. You know, I'd have to say the younger generation of our time is much better at accepting people who are different, all kinds of different. They don't see race anywhere near as much as many of us used to, or maybe we still do. I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. No generalization fits. But that's healthy, and that is good. And the less we pay attention to our differences, the more we are like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it shouldn't occur to us to exclude anybody. What we ought to end up saying is what these folks finally said when Peter explained it to them. They say, oh, okay, now I know that God wants to reach out to everybody. Who am I to filter out those people that God wants to include? We just can't do that. Not at all. Because, folks, the bottom line is, if we think like God, we'll understand the book of Acts. And if we understand the book of Acts, we will understand the mind of God. And that mind and that heart and those arms are very inclusive. You want to know how inclusive they are? It is? It even includes you, you lousy sinners, who are welcome to come and take of this table, even though you don't deserve it. None of us do. But God says, you come.